ministry called Bearing Precious Seed, out of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. Not too far from here, 2.5 hours. I will say this, I encourage you to come and check out what God's doing there sometime. At our print shop there. Our print shop is right in the parking lot of our church there in Milford. We've been printing the Word of God there since 1973. And so this past year we celebrated 50 years that God has allowed us to print the Word of God and to send it to people all around the world. And we've now print about 70 different languages there in Milford. We print not only the John and Romans, not only the scriptures, portions of Scripture, but we also print New Testaments and whole Bibles as well. And we have two large wet presses there in Milford that we use to do that with. Even a couple years ago, we've been praying that God would provide another press for us because our ministry has grown so much between the need for scriptures, but also churches wanting to get involved and be a part of it, specifically in our Seed Line ministry. And so we were praying about God to provide another web press for us so we could really, use one press just to print the New Testaments and whole Bibles and the other one, the John and Romans. And it's probably been about 4 years now God provided that web press. Actually, the press that we have now, the second press we have now was the press that they used as Sword of the Lord for many years. And it's been a big help to us to be able to grow the ministry. Just to kind of give you an idea of how God was doing, what God's doing there, and specifically through churches like yourself, we've been able to print, between the whole Bible's New Testament, John and Romans, close to 12 million scriptures this past year. 11.2 million of those copies were done through Seed Line churches. And so, again, I just want to say thank you, church, for doing your part. And you might say, well, that's a big number, and we did 10,000. But honestly, it's a lot of churches doing what they can. And that's honestly what it is. It's we have well over 220 churches that are involved in Seed Line, not only in our country, but also in Canada and some countries that I cannot tell you right now where they're at. And then also in Colombia. We just started church, some printing there in Colombia, small print work there, and they want to do some Seed Line work. Not only to be able to do the process like you guys were able to be a part of, but even just the be able to take it out into other churches in their area and do it. And to be honest, that's what we need to do more of. We need to get more churches involved, not only in our country, but churches all in other countries to do this. Because the task that God has given us is great, and He hasn't just given it to the United States. He's given it to all His people all around the world. And so I'm excited what God's going to do there. In fact, I leave about 14 hours from now, 15 hours from now, I'll leave and head to the airport, head to Colombia. And so if you would, I appreciate you pray about that. God will use that time there, that we could be an encouragement to the folks there. I know they're excited about what they started to do, some printing and things like that. It looks a little bit different than how we would do it, but they're doing it, and it's the Word of God, and we're excited about it. And so we've been able to send about 15 containers, I think, this year to overseas, and some smaller crates and things like that. And then we also send scripture to other ministries that are focused on distribution. And I can tell you, I was looking at your board there, and I know there's several there that we've sent scripture to, ministries that you support. I know we've sent some to the Robinsons. We've sent some scripture to them. And we work very closely with Couriers for Christ, Brother Sturtz there, and we print a majority of their John and Romans that they are able to hand out overseas in Eastern Europe and as they look at other areas. In fact, Heidi and I were able to be a part of that this past summer. We were able to go and go over to Italy and be a part of some distribution there, and it's always enjoy this side of it, but it's always good to be on that side of it as well, to be able to hand somebody the Word of God. And of course, we have that opportunity here in our own community to do that as well. And we need to take advantage of that as well to get the Word of God out in our own area as well. This morning, I want to just share a few things from the Word of God with you. You know, the reason, one of the things we do, why we do it, is not only to get the Word of God out, obviously that is, but there's a reason why we do it the way we do. We believe that God's people should take care of God's Word. And that, to be honest, as Christians, that's a responsibility that we've really given up to the world to do. And I'm just going to show you just a couple verses this morning, but to be honest, that's common sense to me. I'm kind of a common sense person. Why would we give the lost world the responsibility to get the good news of Jesus Christ out? But that's what we've done. And because of that, there's been consequences, I believe. Some of those consequences is, one, we deal with so many different perversions of the Word of God today, is one of them. And then also is that there's still thousands of people groups all around the world that don't have a Bible in their language. And again, that I believe that that is a direct result of God's people not taking care of God's Word. And so, if you would this morning, let's start with this verse this morning. Let's start 1 Thessalonians. Let's change that. Let's go to Psalms 138. I want to give you a shorter version this morning. Psalm 138. Verse 2. The Bible just says this in Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, and for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, if you think about that, and you think about if you've studied the Word of God and you've studied the names of God, I'm sure your pastor probably at some point has done a study with that and preached on the many names of God and what they mean and who He is. And here he puts the Word of God above his own name. And so that there tells us that there is something there that we need to look at. There's something there that we need to pay attention to. And and so getting the Word of God is important, something that he wants us to look at, but also to get at. 1 Thessalonians, I will tell you this, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 says, But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's relaying that we've been entrusted with the gospel. We have a responsibility to get this message out, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have that responsibility, and we know that Jesus left that to us, this commandment to get the gospel out to the lost world. But as we look at this morning, just briefly, that why we do what we do, let me just kind of give you just a few verses this morning. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, we see that the Word of God gives life. The Word of God gives life. John 5, verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. John 6, verse 63 also says the same thing. It says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? They are life. And so there's something distinct about this book. There's something different about this book. There's a reason we call it holy. There's something different about the Word of God, this book that we are in this morning. not only does it give life, but it's something that is eternal. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is eternal. And so again, we see some things that are very distinct about the Scripture. Something very distinct about this particular book that we have with us this morning. Not only is there something very distinct about it, but there's something very distinguished about it. Again, we looked at Psalm 138, verse 2 already, and how God desires His Word above His own name. He exalts it. He exalts His Word. And also, if we looked in the Scriptures, and I won't look at all the verses this morning, but we can see, especially in the Gospel records, that Jesus, as He's sharing, that He's constantly asking what question? Have you read? Have you not read? And you kind of continually see this. And so we have the understanding that He wants His Word to be read. He wants it to be read. He wants it us to be in it and to be able to share it. And you'd see most of those verses, a good place to see those is in the book of Matthew. Also, we know this, that He wants His Word to be published. He wants His Word to be published. He wants it to be out there. Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it. That word company means an assembly, a gathering of people. Again, He's given a specific people the responsibility to get His Word published. And He also wants it what? He wants it propagated. He wants it to be, again, we've said already, He wants it to go out. We know that from the commandment, the commission that's been given to us. He wants it spread and promoted. And then also this, we see that there's a divine a program that He has put in place to preserve the Word of God. He has always had people in place to preserve the Word of God. He's always had a plan to preserve the Word of God. And to be honest, going back to Moses and seeing that the Word of God was, there was a copy there. But let me share with you briefly just a couple things this morning to kind of tie it together. Is this, that if you like to go, you can go to Numbers chapter 3 this morning. Numbers chapter 3. We see in the Old Testament specifically that there was two people that He gave the responsibility to preserve the Word of God. And one of those people were the priests. He gave them a responsibility. In Numbers 3 and verse 31, actually go to Numbers 4 and verse 4, just right below that. Numbers 4, verse 4. It says this, "This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation." And what's it say there? About the most holy things. The most holy things. And going back to Numbers 3 and verse 31, it says, "And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary where they minister, and hanging, and all the service thereof." And we can see the priests were in charge of the most holy things. And again, we know that there's nothing more holy than the Word of God that we have. And so the priests had the responsibility to handle the holy things, that the holy hands handled the holy things. The other people I want to draw attention to is in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, if you'd like to go over there. In Deuteronomy 17, in verse 18, we'll start there. And here we're looking at not the priests, but the kings. The kings had a responsibility. In verse 18 in chapter 17 it says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. and it shall be with him, and it shall, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That this heart be not filled lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from his commandment to the right hand or to the left, and to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children, the midst of Israel. And again, so we see again that there was a responsibility that the kings had to read it, to keep it, to help copy it. They had these responsibilities, the priests and the kings in the Old Testament. If you would, turn to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In the New Testament, it says here in verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 5 verse 9, if you would with me this morning. Revelation 5 verse 9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kingdom, every kindred and the tongue and people and nation." In verse 10, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And so we know this through the blood of Jesus Christ. What today we in the New Testament, we are the kings and priests. And again, we have that responsibility of preserving and propagating the Word of God. Doing those things to, the holy hands, to be able to handle the holy things. God has certainly given us so many privileges, hasn't He? That we have the privilege to come before Him, come before the throne with our requests, to give us power as we go out and do what He's given us to do. He's given us many rights. But again, He's also given us a responsibility. He's given us responsibilities that we need to take seriously. And to be honest, we haven't done that. We haven't taken on what Paul had said to be entrusted with the gospel. And you might say, "Brother Chad, it's okay. It's not a big problem. As long as it's the Word of God, as long as it's the right version, as long as those things are okay, does it really matter how it's taken care of?" Well, it's important to God. It's important to Him how things are done. And I believe, and I've seen it, the Lord's allowed us to be in this ministry now for, in June, it'll be 11 years. And what I've seen is God blesses His people that are obedient to Him. Specifically in this area of preserving His Word and getting it out. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And so I could go back and see and testify of those things. But again, Jesus, what he's saying that, to be honest, this is an abomination that we're not doing it. And when this abomination is a big word. If you would, go with me to Ezekiel 44. I want to look at an example real quick and we'll be done here. In Ezekiel 44 here. There's an example of here of mishandled responsibilities. And again, that's what we're talking about today, a mishandled responsibility. Let's look at Ezekiel 44. If we had time, we would look at the whole chapter here, but I just want to show you just a couple verses this morning. Let's start in verse 6. It says, "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, and ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your," again, "abominations." In verse 7 it says this, it says, "And that ye have brought into my sanctuary," what's that next word, "strangers." The strangers, a stranger is somebody that is, what he's saying here is somebody that's not one of his children. Not one of us. And it says, "And that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations." And look at verse 8 with me. It says, "And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things." That means they did not take their responsibility seriously. They were okay with giving it that responsibility to strangers. But God's saying it's an abomination. It goes on to say, "But you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves." Again, they were satisfied to have someone else do the task they were responsible to do. Okay? And you, again, we said, "Brother Chad, what is the big deal?" Can I tell you this morning, that 80% of the Bibles that are printed in this world are printed in a country that I could not even send Bibles to. Does that make sense? So just like everything else, to save a buck or whatever the case may be, that 80% of the Bibles are produced, you know, you can probably look in the front of your Bible and maybe somebody here has a Bible that's produced and made in China. And I say that again this morning, not because it's not a made in America thing or nothing. If there was Bibles produced in the First Baptist Church of Beijing, if there was one, I'd be one of the first ones to purchase that Bible, because that would be amazing. But that's not the case. The reality is that the Bible is the most printed book in the world because of one thing, and that's this. It's because of money. It's because people want the Word of God. They desire the Word of God. And as long as those people have money, as long as that people group has money, then they'll print them and send them to them. Or they'll make them buy them. But God said it's our responsibility, that the holy hands were to handle the holy things. Our responsibility as us, as New Testament Christians, that we still have this responsibility to continue. And again, like I said earlier, there's been consequences of this. There's consequences because we still deal with perversions of the Bible. We still deal with many people groups not having a Bible translated in their language still. And these are some of the consequences that we have, that we are okay with. We are okay with giving up this responsibility. And so I want to say, church, thank you for doing your part. Thank you for partnering with us to get the Word of God out. Thank you for helping us propagate the Word of God, help us to preserve the Word of God through these 10,000 copies. If you would just continue to pray for our ministry, continue to pray. I could give you a couple specific prayer requests to give you. Is specifically in our ministry of C-Line, is we need more guys. We need more men that, like myself, that are willing to go out and to go to the churches and to be able to lead these scripture assembly projects, churches that are willing to be able to do it on their own, because there's still a great need for the Word of God. You know, 11.2 million, like I mentioned, is a big number. But the need, the souls that are still out there that don't have the Word of God, is even greater. And our time is windering away. And but I appreciate again this morning what you've been doing. Just to kind of share again this particular scripture that's going out, where it's going. It is going to Mexico. It'll be going through a ministry that really focuses on getting the Word of God out to a lot of the villages where people don't go to. We sent a lot of scripture to Mexico City, one of the largest cities in the world, some of the bigger cities in Mexico. But there's not a whole lot of people going to these very small fishing villages and villages all around, like this particular ministry is, and getting the Word of God to those people. And God desires for them to hear as well. And so, maybe I just take a couple questions real quick, and then we can wrap up this morning. Anybody have questions about bearing precious seed this morning, or anything I can answer for you? All right. Well, you can ask me after if you have any. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for yourself. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve you this morning and to worship you this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to bless the service as after this morning. God, that you would use it to work in our hearts. I pray, God, if there's someone that comes for this morning service, Lord, that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, that they would see their need and accept Christ as Savior, Lord, that you would be glorified. Again, we thank you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you. Ministry called Bearing Precious Seed, out of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. Not too far from here, 2.5 hours. I will say this, I encourage you to come and check out what God's doing there sometime. At our print shop there, our print shop is right in the parking lot of our church there in Milford. We've been printing the Word of God there since 1973. And so this past year we celebrated 50 years that God has allowed us to print the Word of God and to send it to people all around the world. And we now print about 70 different languages there in Milford. We print not only the John and Romans, not only the scriptures, portions of Scripture, but we also print New Testaments and whole Bibles as well. And we have two large wet presses there in Milford that we use to do that with. Even a couple years ago, we've been praying that God would provide another press for us because our ministry has grown so much between the need for scriptures, but also churches wanting to get involved and be a part of it, specifically in our Seedline ministry. And so we were praying about God would provide another web press for us so we could really... use one press just to print the New Testaments and whole Bibles, and the other one, the John and Romans. And it's probably been about 4 years now God provided that web press. The press that we have now, the second press we have now, was the press that they used of Sword of the Lord for many years. And it's been a big help to us to be able to grow the ministry. Just to kind of give you an idea of how God... what God's doing there, and specifically through churches like yourself, we've been able to print between the whole Bibles, New Testament, John and Romans, close to 12 million scriptures this past year. 11.2 million of those copies were done through Seedline churches. And so, again, I just want to say thank you, church, for doing your part. And you might say, well, that's a big number, and we did 10,000. But honestly, it's a lot of churches doing what they can. And that's honestly what it is. It's we have well over 220 churches that are involved in Seedline, not only in our country, but also in Canada and some countries that I cannot tell you right now where they're at. And then also in Colombia. We just started a church, some printing there in Colombia, small print work there, and they want to do some Seedline work, not only to be able to do the process like you guys were able to be a part of, but even just the be able to take it out into other churches in their area and do it. And to be honest, that's what we need to do more of. We need to get more churches involved, not only in our country, but churches all in other countries to do this. Because the task that God has given us is great, and He hasn't just given it to the United States. He's given it to all His people all around the world. And so I'm excited what God's going to do there. In fact, I leave about 14 hours from now, 15 hours from now, I'll leave and head to the airport, head to Columbia. And so if you would, I appreciate you pray about that. God will use that time there, that we could be an encouragement to the folks there. I know they're excited about what they started to do, some printing and things like that. It looks a little bit different than how we would do it, but they're doing it, and it's the Word of God, and we're excited about it. And so we've been able to send about 15 containers, I think, this year to overseas, and some smaller crates and things like that. And then we also send scripture to other ministries that are focused on distribution. And I can tell you, I was looking at your board there, and I know there's several there that we've sent scripture to, missionaries that you support. I know we've sent some to the Robinsons. We've sent some scripture to them. And we work very closely with Courage for Christ, Brother Sturtz there. And we print majority of their John and Romans that they are able to hand out overseas in Eastern Europe and as they look at other areas. In fact, Heidi and I were able to be a part of that this past summer. We were able to go and go over to Italy and be a part of some distribution there. And it's I always enjoy this side of it, but it's always good to be on that side of it as well, to be able to hand somebody the Word of God. And of course, we have that opportunity here in our own community to do that as well. And we need to take advantage of that as well to get the Word of God out in our own area as well. This morning I want to just share a few things from the Word of God with you. You know, the reason, one of the things we do, why we do it, is not only to get the Word of God out, obviously that is, but there's a reason why we do it the way we do. We believe that God's people should take care of God's Word. And that to be honest, as Christians, that's a responsibility that we've really given up to the world to do. And I'm just going to show you just a couple verses this morning, but to be honest, that's common sense to me. I'm kind of a common sense person. Why would we give the lost world the responsibility to get the good news of Jesus Christ out? But that's what we've done. And because of that, there's been consequences, I believe. Some of those consequences is, one, we deal with so many different perversions of the Word of God today, is one of them. And then also is that there's still thousands of people groups all around the world that don't have a Bible in their language. And again, that I believe that is a direct result of God's people not taking care of God's Word. And so, if you would this morning, let's start with this verse this morning. Let's start in 1 Thessalonians. Let's change that. Let's go to Psalms 138. I want to give you a shorter version this morning. Psalm 138. Verse 2. The Bible says this in Psalm 138, verse 2 says, it says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, and for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, if you think about that, and you think about, if you've studied the Word of God and you've studied the names of God, I'm sure your pastor probably at some point has done a study with that and preached on the many names of God and what they mean and who He is. And here he puts the Word of God above his own name. And so that there tells us that there is something there that we need to look at. There's something there that we need to pay attention to. And and so, you know, getting the Word of God is important. It's something that he wants us to look at, but also to get out. 1 Thessalonians, I will tell you this, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 says, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's relaying that we've been entrusted with the gospel. We have a responsibility to get this message out, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we have that responsibility, and we know that Jesus left that to us, this commandment to get the gospel out to the lost world. But as we look at this morning, just briefly, that why we do what we do, let me just kind of give you just a few verses this morning. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, we see that the Word of God gives life. The Word of God gives life. John 5 verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life." John 6, verse 63 also says the same thing. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? They are life. And so there's something distinct about this book. There's something different about this book. There's a reason we call it holy. There's something different about the Word of God, this book that we are in this morning. Not only does it give life, but it's something that is eternal. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." The Word of God is eternal. And so again, we see some things that are very distinct about the Scripture, something very distinct about this particular book that we have with us this morning. Not only is there something very distinct about it, but there's something very distinguished about it. Again, we looked at Psalm 138, verse 2 already, and how God desires His Word above His own name. He exalts it. He exalts His Word. And also, if we look in the Scriptures, and I won't look through all the verses this morning, but we can see, especially in the Gospel records, that Jesus, as He's sharing, that He's constantly asking what question? Have you read? Have you not read? And you kind of continue to see this. And so we have the understanding that He wants His Word to be read. He wants it to be read. He wants us to be in it and to be able to share it. And you'd see most of those verses, a good place to see those is in the book of Matthew. Also, we know this, that He wants His Word to be published. He wants His Word to be published. He wants it to be out there. Psalm 68, verse 11, "The Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of those that published it." That word company means an assembly, a gathering of people. Again, He's given a specific people the responsibility to get His Word published. And He also wants it what? He wants it propagated. He wants it to be, again, we've said already, He wants it to go out. We know that from the commandment, the commission that's been given to us. He wants it spread and promoted. And then also this, we see that there's a divine a program that He has put in place to preserve the Word of God. He has always had people in place to preserve the Word of God. He's always had a plan to preserve the Word of God. And to be honest, going back to Moses and seeing that the Word of God there was a copy there. But let me share with you briefly just a couple things this morning to kind of tie it together. Is this, that if you like to go, you can go to Numbers chapter 3 this morning. Numbers chapter 3. We see in the Old Testament specifically that there was two people that He gave the responsibility to preserve the Word of God. And one of those people were the priests. He gave them a responsibility. In Numbers 3 verse 31, Actually go to Numbers 4 and verse 4, just right below that. Numbers 4, verse 4. It says this, "This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation." And what's it say there? About the most holy things. The most holy things. And going back to Numbers 3 and verse 31, it says, "And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary where they minister, and hanging, and all the service thereof." And we can see the priests were in charge of the most holy things. And again, we know that there's nothing more holy than the Word of God that we have. And so the priests had the responsibility to handle the holy things, that the holy hands handled the holy things. The other people I want to draw attention to is in Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17, if you'd like to go over there. In Deuteronomy 17, in verse 18, we'll start there. And here we're looking at not the priests, but the kings. The kings had a responsibility. In verse 18 in chapter 17 it says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That this heart be not filled lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from his commandment to the right hand or to the left, and to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children, the midst of Israel." And again, so we see again that there was a responsibility that the kings had to read it, to keep it, to help copy it. They had these responsibilities, the priests and the kings in the Old Testament. If you would, let me turn to Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In the New Testament, it says here in verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Revelation 5 verse 9, if you would with me this morning. Revelation 5 verse 9 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kingdom, every kindred, and the tongue, and people, and nation." In verse 10, "And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And so we know this, through the blood of Jesus Christ, what today we in the New Testament, we are the kings and priests. And again, we have that responsibility of preserving and propagating the Word of God. Doing those things the holy hands to be able to handle the holy things. God has certainly given us so many privileges, hasn't He? That we have the privilege to come before Him, come before the throne with our requests, to give us power as we go out and do what He's given us to do. He's given us many rights. But again, He's also given us a responsibility. He's given us responsibilities that we need to take seriously. And to be honest, we haven't done that. We haven't taken on what Paul had said to be entrusted with the gospel. And you might say, "Brother Chad, it's okay. It's not a big problem. As long as it's the Word of God, as long as it's the right version, as long as those things are okay, does it really matter how it's taken care of?" Well, it's important to God. It's important to Him how things are done. And I believe, and I've seen it, the Lord's allowed us to be in this ministry now for, in June, it'll be 11 years. And what I've seen is God blesses His people that are obedient to Him. Specifically in this area of preserving His Word and getting it out. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And so I could go back and see and testify of those things. But again, Jesus, what he's saying is he's saying that, to be honest, this is an abomination that we're not doing it. And when this abomination is a big word. If you would go with me to Ezekiel 44, I want to look at an example real quick and we'll be done here. In Ezekiel 44 here. There's an example of here of mishandled responsibilities. And again, that's what we're talking about today, a mishandled responsibility. Let's look at Ezekiel 44. If we had time, we would look at the whole chapter here, but I just want to show you just a couple verses this morning. Let's start in verse 6. It says, "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, in ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your," again, "abominations." In verse 7 it says this, it says, "And that ye have brought into my sanctuary," what's that next word, "strangers." The strangers. A stranger is somebody that is, what he's saying here, is somebody that's not one of his children. Not one of us. And it says, "And that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations." And look at verse 8 with me. It says, "And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things." That means they did not take their responsibility seriously. They were okay with giving it, that responsibility, to strangers. But God's saying it's an abomination. It goes on to say, "But you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves." Again, they were satisfied to have someone else do the task they were responsible to do. Okay? And again, Mr. Brother Chad, what is the big deal? Can I tell you this morning, that 80% of the Bibles that are printed in this world are printed in a country that I could not even send Bibles to. Does that make sense? So just like everything else, to save a buck or whatever the case may be, that 80% of the Bibles are produced, you can probably look in the front of your Bible and maybe somebody here has a Bible that's produced and made in China. And I say that again this morning, not because it's not a made in America thing or nothing. If there was Bibles produced in First Baptist Church of Beijing, if there was one, I'd be one of the first ones to purchase that Bible, because that would be amazing. But that's not the case. The reality is that the Bible is the most printed book in the world because of one thing. And that's this. It's because of money. It's because people want the Word of God. They desire the Word of God. And as long as those people have money, as long as that people group has money, then they'll print them and send them to them. Or they'll make them buy them. But God said it's our responsibility that the holy hands were to handle the holy things. A responsibility as us, as New Testament Christians, that we still have this responsibility to continue. And again, like I said earlier, there's been consequences of this. There's consequences because we still deal with perversions of the Bible. We still deal with many people groups not having a Bible translated in their language still. And these are some of the consequences that we have, that we are okay with. We are okay with giving up this responsibility. And so I want to say, church, thank you for doing your part. Thank you for partnering with us to get the Word of God out. Thank you for helping us propagate the Word of God, help us to preserve the Word of God through these 10,000 copies. If you would just continue to pray for our ministry, continue to pray. I could give you a couple specific prayer requests to give you. Is specifically in our ministry of C-Line, is we need more guys. We need more men that, like myself, that are willing to go out and to go to the churches and to be able to lead these scripture assembly projects, churches that are willing to be able to do it on their own, because there's still a great need for the Word of God. You know, 11.2 million, like I mentioned, is a big number. But the need, the souls that are still out there that don't have the Word of God, is even greater. And our time is dwindling away. And but I appreciate again this morning what you've been doing. Just to kind of share again this particular scripture that's going out, where it's going. It is going to Mexico. It'll be going through a ministry that really focuses on getting the Word of God out to a lot of the villages where people don't go to. We sent a lot of scripture to Mexico City, one of the largest cities in the world, some of the bigger cities in Mexico. But there's not a whole lot of people going to these very small fishing villages and villages all around, like this particular ministry is, and getting the Word of God to those people. And God desires for them to hear as well. And so, maybe I just take a couple questions real quick, and then we can wrap up this morning. Anybody have questions about bearing precious seed this morning, or anything I could answer for you? All right. Well, you can ask me after if you have any. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for yourself. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve you this morning and to worship you this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to bless the service after this morning. God, that you would use it to work in our hearts. I pray, God, if there's someone that comes for this morning service, Lord, that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, that they would see their need and accept Christ as Savior, Lord, that you would be glorified. Again, we thank you. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.